Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Todd Tomasella here with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. Glad to have you listening. We've got Brother Travis Bryan III on the line. Brother Travis, how are you?
Just fine, Todd. How are you, sir?
Doing absolutely wonderful. It's a blessed time to be in America. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. So we're giving God praise during this season for a president and a vice president that have stated and have a desire to do that which is right in the eyes of God concerning life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, I guess you could say. But
I share your happiness, Todd. I share your happiness. But I also think that change in America is not going to come from the top down. It's going to have to come from the bottom up. That means that hearts of people are going to have to turn to the Lord and die to self for there to really be a change, a transformation in this country, you know. But I'm happy too, Todd. I sure am.
Yeah, it is an element of the scripture. But, you know, it's interesting you say that. We've got a post on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, titled, America's Preachers Are to Blame for the Curse of Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, which goes into detail. You know, it's always been the case, as we read the Old Testament, we see that it's the leaders of this people that caused them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple of books on the website on that topic, saints, and that would be one called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, another one called Predators in Our Pulpits. And speaking of that, Brother Travis, Paul cites the false leaders of his day as being enemies of the cross of Christ, and that's what we're going to be preaching today, saints. We're going to be preaching on the stripping process of the cross. Brother Travis, you've recently written a really good piece on that, and something you said on a recent show really impacted me and a lot of other people, and it was a simple fact that Job had to be stripped, and we know Job was a righteous man, and so that immediately informs each of us that we have to be stripped too. Is that correct, Brother Travis?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, the entire old man must be stripped off for the new man headed by Christ to be put on, Todd. So we've got two men in the universe, the old man headed by Adam, and his body is sin, Romans 6:6, and the new man, Jesus Christ, is the head, and his body, the church. And so this process of moving out of the old man and his body of sin into the new man and his body of righteousness is what the cross brings about, Todd. That is the great transition point for this to occur. So in that process, there is a monumental, which happened at the cross, a macro putting off of the old man, and then 3 days later, the raising up of Christ was a putting on of the macro new man. So each of us are sort of microcosms of that macro event, and that's what we have here in the book of Colossians, Todd.
Amen. But is the root problem here that we think we're good in and of ourselves?
Well, what we do is we come into this earth with a mentality of seeing our role as Christians as being one of good versus evil. That is rooted in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we think from that error that's implicit in us, that is inherent in us is a better word, that if we can be good and not evil, then we have live for God and live for Christ. And that's just not it at all. We have to put off the old man, good and evil, Todd.
Amen.
And that can only come through the cross.
Amen. You know, in verse 9 there of Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul said, "And to be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness," which we know, brother, is as filthy rags. And Paul says that there's nothing, no good thing that dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. But anyway, Paul says not having. He wants to be found in Christ on that day of his last day on the earth, whether it be by his death or by the return of Christ. He wants to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, he says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. Amen. Our righteousness is not in and of ourselves. It's in Christ, brother. And that was Romans 7:18, saints. I want to encourage you to study that, Romans 7:18, where Paul says that there was no good thing that was in him. We need to own that ourselves and speak it aloud. And that's the beginning of victory, by the way, not trying to prop up the old self. But the old self needs to be stripped, Brother Travis. And some other things that you talked about were Colossians 2:11-12, where you spoke about in whom also, it says, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, Colossians 2:11-12. And then you said the crucifixion and burial of Christ was the circumcision, the putting off of the old creation and the fleshly old man. Circumcision is stripping off. That's really interesting, brother. Did you want to speak to that a bit?
Yes, brother. This is the New Testament theology behind this Old Testament story of Job. And this is where we get these statements that Job had to be stripped, because in this passage here, the last half of chapter 2 of Colossians and the first half of chapter 3, we have this concept of stripping off, and the King James Version uses about four words to approach that subject. The King James uses the word circumcision, and we know what that is. That is a stripping off of the outer flesh. And that's the word that, of course, circumcision in the Old Testament is with hands. But in the New Testament, everything is without hands. Circumcision without hands. Building without hands. Baptism without hands. Everything is without hands in the New Testament. So you have the word circumcision. Then you have the word spoiled, which is an old King James word for the stripping of the enemy. And here we have an interesting thing that Jesus was stripped at the cross. This is part of his circumcision, the circumcision of Christ there in verse 11 and 12. Mm. And his enemy stripped him. But their stripping of him, Todd, was his stripping of them. Spoil the enemy, in other words, that's a word for in battle, after the battle's over and the enemy is laying in the field, the winner goes in and strips the bodies of anything of value and the weaponry. And so Jesus stripped the enemy by letting them strip him. This is going back to this concept, Todd, of the fact that Satan defeats himself through the cross, a monumental, paramount truth of the cross. God never directly strips anyone. He strips the enemy by letting them strip him. Then you have the word putting off, the putting off of the old man, or the putting off of the deeds of the old man. And then finally, I think there was one more, putting off, stripped, circumcision, spoiled. That's
blotting out.
Those are all words. Pardon me?
Blotting out is verse 14.
Blotting out, yes, sir. That and taken out of the way. That's another one. He stripped the the rules. He stripped the rules off and took them out of the way. So this whole passage is devoted to this idea of stripping off, Todd.
Amen. You know, Brother Travis, a lot of people are shocked when you point out that he took the law out of the way. He says it right here, that he took it out of the way. Amen?
Amen. And of course, there is an argument within theologians that that only is replying to that only applies to the ordinances right there, not the Ten Commandments. But if you go back into the book of Romans 7 and 2 Corinthians 3, you'll see that coveting is discussed as one of the things we have died to, and that is the 10th commandment. You'll also see Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 talking about the letters written on stone. That is no longer the economy for the believer. That is a ministry of condemnation and death. We now have a ministry of righteousness and life through Christ. So clearly, the Ten Commandments, as well as all the ordinances, are taken out of the way, Todd, at the cross.
Amen. I think what we fail to realize, brother, is that the Ten Commandments, no one has ever fulfilled them except Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, after he fulfilled them perfectly, and by the way, anytime we've offended once, we've broken the whole law. So we're all guilty. Ten Commandments, the law, showed us just how guilty we are in the eyes of a holy God. And they bring us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. But Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly. Then he nailed it to the cross and took it out of the way. No one can be made righteous by trying, and I say trying because you can't do it, keep the law perfectly. And I think we need to realize that, brother, through a deep study of the book of Romans, Galatians, Colossians, and the book of Hebrews especially. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end. It's over. The end of the law for righteousness. You can't be righteous outside of Christ. He is the end of the law, the one who fulfilled it. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. When we put our faith in Christ, saints, we partake of the perfection of Christ, who said it is finished on the cross, and that was after he completely, fully satisfied the claims of the Father's justice by perfectly keeping the law and then nailing it to the cross and taking it out of our way. Amen. We've got several.
Let me comment on that, Todd,
yes,
if you don't mind.
Sir, please.
In the Ten Commandments, you have the second commandment, which is found in Exodus 20, verse 5, which says that God will punish for the iniquities of the father, will punish children, or it even goes so far as for the sins of the great-grandfather, that God will punish the great-grandchild. And I assume that even includes death to an innocent little child. And so that is put off, Todd. We are not under that that kind of tyranny anymore. That was the point, as you and I have discussed, in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, when they walked in, Jesus and his disciples, and saw a blind man. His disciples said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" See, they're going directly back to that provision in Exodus 25. And Jesus brought out the fact that none of them sinned. This has been allowed for the glory of God. See, we're in the economy now of death, burial, and resurrection, Todd, which is a much higher and more magnificent economy than any law. And of course, the legalists want to say that you must remain under the law. That's what the Judaizers said in the day of Paul. It's Christ plus the law. And Paul said, no, it's Christ plus nothing. And that's Amen. Where the great dispute was, Todd.
Well, and it's the spirit of Antichrist that underlies that whole thing, because it wants to replace
Absolutely.
Christ's own supposed goodness, which is what we're talking about today, saints, about the goodness that we think we have needs to be stripped all the way to the core. And that's God's work we see in the scriptures, and we see in our lives as we walk with him. There is no good thing that dwells in me, Paul says. And also, there is none good, not one. And I think the beginning place for us as believers, Brother Travis, is to announce what the Bible says about us, and including those verses there. And also, verses like 39, Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5, very interesting to me. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail or weak I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man, here it is, verily, or truly, every man in his at his best state, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man, even at his best state, is altogether vanity. We need to own that truth, and I believe that is the starting place, foundationally, for victory, to announce our own spiritual poverty and our utter need for Jesus Christ today. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are desperate for God, realizing their great need for his mercy right now. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen, Brother Travis. Then you talked about the resurrection of Christ was a universal forgiveness of sins open to all who believe into Christ. We were dead in our sins, but through our resurrection, you write, with Christ, we have been raised up out of all of our sins. And you, being dead in your sins in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah, brother. That's the story of redemption in summation, isn't it?
It is, but in that right there is a subtle truth that you also find in a couple, three other places in the New Testament, and that is that Christians have a tendency to believe that the death only of Christ was their forgiveness, that all the forgiveness ended when Jesus died. I mean, in terms of it's available to everybody, and we get it through his death, but no, here we see, and in other places, that it's both the death and the resurrection. We are raised up out of our sins, Todd. It's the raising up has to occur also, and the sins left behind. That is how forgiveness occurs, through death and resurrection there, Todd.
Amen, brother. That's right. In fact, we're not preaching the whole gospel unless we're including the resurrection of Jesus
exactly.
Christ from the dead, saints. And also, Brother Travis, you talked about Moses' law being a part of the old creation and related only to the old man, the outer man, right?
Yes, and the outer man is the same as the old man, Todd. The inner man
yes,
is the new man.
Ah, amen. Not to the new man. Let me read it again. Moses' law, you wrote, being part of the old creation and related only to the old man, not to the new man, was crucified with Christ and taken out of the way. Wow, what a blessing. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, it took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What a blessing, brother. Amen. Paul writes that we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Boy, that really nails this whole topic today, Brother Travis, Philippians 3:3. And he's talking about keeping the saints safe, keeping them safe. He uses that word, Philippians 3:1, and warning them of the dogs. Beware, he says, of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of this concision. Here is the stated divine purpose for this preaching today, is that the saints be kept safe and that they can beware of those that are trying to bring them back under the law. You know, a lot of these groups, they focus on the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. Well, that has nothing to do with your salvation other than this, that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. We, with the capital S, Hebrews 4, we rest in him and his finished work from trying to be righteous by the law. That's the summation of what the New Testament teaches. And it's good to rest one day a week and take that time out as a day of worship, but that has nothing to do with your salvation. That was a picture of our rest in Christ, completed perfect work. Amen. Again, Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's a great question of rhetorical value, Brother Travis, isn't it?
Oh, it is, Todd, and the book of Galatians is so important to this argument about law versus grace, because Paul says in Galatians 5:4, after speaking of circumcision as that was the lead practice of the law there, Paul says that if you, in so many words, if you stay under law, then you'll be severed from Christ, or
yes,
Christ will be no effect to you, and you will fall from grace. Now, Todd, listen to that right there. That's a strange verse right there. Now, that's not saying a drug addict will fall from grace or a perpetual thief will fall from grace. This is saying that a person who's trying as hard as he can,
yes,
in his own effort to keep the rules, out of his flesh, to keep rules, to be religious, to obey. He's trying as hard as he can, and this will bring about or precipitate his fall from grace, Todd.
It's an absolute denial of Christ, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, absolutely, and Paul has some harsh words for these people. I mean, in this book of Galatians, he calls them dogs. He calls them enemies of the cross. And he finally says the concision instead of the circumcision, because circumcision in the New Testament is without hands. These people that still circumcise the flesh, meaning the physical flesh, are the concision. That means those that mutilate the body, Todd. And he brings it down to this. He says, I hope they castrate themselves. I mean, this is rough language right here for legalists, Todd.
It's extremely rugged. Amen. Cut off. And right there, Galatians 5:4, he openly says that you could fall from grace, specifically, first of all, once saved, always saved, is a lie, saints. We've been taught that for years, many of us, and we've got to understand the Bible never teaches that. Here's a perfect example, Brother Travis, of Paul telling Christians they're going to be cut off if they try to go back under the law. We've got a book on the website, by the way, addressing that topic thoroughly in a 730-page format, a blockbuster book called Lie of the Ages on safeguardyoursoul.com or amazon.com. Lie of the Ages. Brother Travis, in the second chapter, as you know, of Galatians at the end, Paul is talking about verse 19, for through the law am I... for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. There it is. We're dead to the law. We're in Christ. Anybody who's trying to put themselves back under the law is denying the full, the efficacy of Christ. They're openly denying Christ. They're spitting in the face of a holy God who sent his only begotten Son, who paid a debt he did not owe, and we owe a debt we cannot pay. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I might add that he said, it is finished, it's paid in full on the cross, praise God. Jesus Christ paid the full penalty and debt for the sins of mankind, and it's only in him, by faith, that you and I can be made righteous or right in right standing in the eyes of a holy God. And if we try to go back under the law, we forsake Christ, were forsaking Christ, who's the only one who kept the law. And then, as we cited earlier, Colossians 2, he nailed it to the cross and took it out of the way for righteousness. That doesn't mean we have a license for sin at all, but it does mean that through the faith of the operation of God, we live in Christ. I love Romans 8:2, Brother Travis, where he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, I don't think a lot of people understand, Brother Travis, what we read in especially Hebrews 8, that the law was infinitely inferior to this new covenant that we have. And the New Testament is based on better promises. It's ratified in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. It's infinitely superior to the old law, isn't it, brother?
Oh, absolutely. Todd, let me add a couple of thoughts to what you just said. First of all, Jesus through the cross, Todd, is doing a lot more than just saving individuals. He is saving the entire universe, Todd. He is, and by that, and human beings have a part in that. We believe into what he did at the cross. I always want to add that, but Jesus is saving the old creation and putting it off at the cross. This was a cosmic salvation that occurred there at the cross. Todd, the entire old creation is being saved through the cross, Christ and his cross. And the support for that is primarily in Romans chapter 8, with verses for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You want to read the last half of Romans 8, and you'll see that God is saving the animals, the plants, the dirt. That's why, Todd, when Jesus comes back, the animals will no longer bite each other. A child can play on the lip of a viper's den, and there will be no blighted areas like deserts anymore. The deserts will bloom. God is, through the death and resurrection of Christ, saving the entire universe, Todd, and this is a tremendous, beautiful truth here.
Amen. You know, it's interesting that you say that. In creation, we have all three members of the Godhead involved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God the Father delegated to, I believe you could say, to the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, the very eternal divine Word of God. And all things, when he spoke, were created by him and for him. Genesis 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 and 18, Jesus Christ said this. So all three members of the Godhead, if you will, and that's a biblical word, a New Testament word, the Godhead, were integrally involved in the creation of man, also in the redemption of mankind and creation, Romans 8, and also Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, 7, and 13 were redeemed by the, were chosen of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And God's bringing all things full circle and full redemption. As Brother Travis pointed out, as the last half of the book of Romans teaches us, Brother Travis got just a second left. Stripping. What needs to be stripped, brother?
Well, Todd, the old nature, even the good part of us, has got to be stripped off. And, of course, this happens in the little mini events of life, major events in life, as we choose to take up the cross and die to self, Todd, and all of its machinations. God works this process in us and brings forth and infuses this life into us, Todd.
Yeah.
Life flows into us, this new life of God, and we're renewed and saved through that, Todd.
Amen. We've got an article post on safeguardyoursoul.com called Resting in His Love. Folks, God wants us to stop trying to keep the law to be righteous and rest in Jesus Christ, the only one that ever kept the law perfectly and then nailed it to the tree and took it out of the way. Colossians 2. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and please pray about supporting SafeguardYourSoul.com. God bless you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, Brother Travis.